Hello, good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Philip. It's lovely to be back.
Yeah, you had you on Sunday breakfast and we survived the whole experience.
We did indeed. It's always nice to come down to 105.
So a little light talk this morning from Stephen Kahn, putting his music comedy show together and dealing with serious issues like the NHS, which
indeed.
I know you have a big passion for. But you did want to try and make it a little bit more lighthearted this morning.
Uh-huh.
You've been, shall we say, appearing before at some venues, in fact, just around the corner from us, Gwydir Street.
Yeah,
Hot Numbers.
Hot Numbers. I'm talking to them again about putting the show on, so that's good. And there's another couple of venues who are also fairly interested. But if people are interested to know more, can they contact you through this station or just drop a line? Or they can drop a line to me, kahnstephen@gmail.com, if they want to help put on some gigs, that would be great. But yeah, the show's in prep. I keep prepping it because there's so much information that keeps coming in. But I'm almost there. I'm finally there now with songs, and it's part cabaret, part comedy, part letting people know what's going on with the NHS, as far as I've discovered through campaigning for the last 2.5 years. It's called Old, Fat and Mad. And
is that referring to yourself, sir?
I've lost a bit of weight, actually. But no, it is sort of, I feel old, I tell you, after 2.5 years of campaigning. The trouble with campaigning is you start out grabbing a placard, getting on a march and shouting it down the street and having a good day out with people. And then you start scratching and you realise the issue is much bigger than just you losing your local hospital. There is an awful lot of really dodgy things going on with the NHS and indeed all our public services right now. So the show is about raising awareness, as always with campaigning, just getting people to understand in a new way. I'm not going to be preaching at people, but I'm going to be raising issues within the show in a way that hopefully people will get it.
So it's a bit like putting a bit of spice into, in other words, well, I mean, it's never plain and dull when you're around, Stephen, I have to
exactly.
say.
Exactly. It's like putting a bit of Tabasco in the chilli. Yeah, it's
there'll
be a few contentious moments, I'm sure. I've learned a lot. The great thing about campaigning has been working with people around the country who, like me, are volunteers. We do it all because we're passionate about the NHS. And some people have really made themselves into experts, and particularly the old. I'll explain old, fat and mad. It's not just because I'm old and fat and mad. Old, fat and mad is what I've termed as the three main mantras that are being preached to us, because old, meaning I'm sure everyone has heard the line, which NHS England, the government, they all like to repeat this kind of line, old, ageing population with complex needs. And that's one of the things I like to challenge in the show. Because, yes, we've got an ageing population. We've always had an ageing population. We've got a big ageing population because we're one of the healthiest nations, because we have an NHS, or have had an NHS.
So our backbone is our health system that's made us all
exactly.
healthier.
And but what they're trying to paint a picture of is this huge swarm of old people who have got such complex needs the NHS can't cope. It's a way of spinning things. I would spin it somewhat different. Old fat, again, we are, we've got a problem with obesity. But in the show, I do highlight the fact that, it's not totally individual's fault. They like to say obesity and diabetes is on the increase, of course. And another reason why the NHS can't cope, but it's a bit of a false myth because, yes, it's a problem. However, as I explained in the show, there was a famous World Health Organization 1950s research done into the world's healthiest diet. And they commissioned an American nutritionist who did a worldwide survey of 22 countries and came up with what he thought was the world's healthiest diet.
May I guess, rice?
That's part of it. No. That's in the show, don't worry. But what's interesting is that because the World Health Organization, and you think, well, it's got to be a good thing, right? Well, it was funded by the American food corporations, and they didn't like the results. So out of the 22 countries that he surveyed, they chose, go on, have a guess how many.
So, I mean, these organisations might be the one owned by Mr. Kraft, Mr. Kellogg, and Mr. Heinz,
oh, you
maybe.
You cynical old thing. Yes, indeed.
Possibly.
Indeed, yeah.
But obviously they were saying it should be sugar and it should be fat. I
yeah,
suppose.
Absolutely. Well, no, actually, quite the opposite. Well, no, sugar, definitely. But they chose seven out of a 22. And what they wanted was high carbs, low fat. Now, of course, what you have to do to create good food is put loads of sugar and salt in. And high carbs, meaning flour, because look at the American Food Corporations, they've got lots of flour to get rid of, corn to get rid of.
Potatoes?
Potatoes, yeah. Well, yeah, that's a difference because that's the carb when carbohydrate turns to sugar, that's the problem. Mm. But that meant from the 50s, we've been pushing a healthy diet being high carbs, low fat. Now, if you notice, the broadsheets and many of the tabloids are all starting to hear from nutritionists who are saying that's the worst diet in the world. We should be looking at plenty of good fat, not just any old fat, but good fat, like avocado, nut oils. I mean, peanut butter is brilliant for those listening. You know, olive oil, raw, natural olive oil, not cooked. Anything with good omega-3 in it is great. Plenty of it. And low carb is the way to go. So, you know, it's not people's fault that suddenly they've have ballooned. A lot in America, obesity is a huge problem mm-hmm. because of the fast food culture. But that's.
They always say that we're just, a decade behind them.
You're, yeah, I think we are in danger of that.
The culture.
And it is a very real danger. But one thing I like about, there's a chef who calls himself the medicinal chef. And I like him because he doesn't blame individuals. He blames government policy. And so I talk about that in the show. So that's the fat bit. And MAD, of course. Now, this is the little dementia, a very sad problem that many families have to deal with because we are an aging population, of course. But they are, again, hyping this up as another reason why this huge swarm of old, fat, and mad people rushing into A&E are going to cripple the NHS. We can't survive. And it's this continual repetition of this image of a crumbling, unsustainable NHS that I'm challenging a little bit.
You just said that dementia is the percentage of people with dementia illnesses is because we're all living a bit longer. Mm-hmm. So that extra 10 years of extension is showing it up in people that might have died of some other mm-hmm. natural causes, in inverted commas, before they were taken by dementia.
Sure. I mean, but I suppose the question is, you know, if this is happening, the world changes. Is that we have a choice to make? Do we cope with it or not cope with it? And unfortunately, because we've all lived under the last two decades of there's not enough money. Well, it's strange that because there's plenty of money when the bankers need it, and there's plenty of money when the arms trade need it. Where does money come from? It doesn't grow on trees. You're absolutely right. It doesn't grow on trees. We make it. That's what governments can do. So I talk about that as well. There's a lot of issues around the NHS that affects not only the NHS, but schools, police, fire. It's a general gradual cultural change of the way we've been forced to think that private is always good and public is bad. And I was delighted. A friend sent me a link today. The Nobel Awards have just been announced in the last 2 days. And there's an economist, Hart, who has his work is all about the fact that when you put private services into public services, they fail because the incentives are huge. Financial incentive overrides public need. So I should be looking more into him as well. So yeah, there's some, you know, and of course then I'm doing a bit of bingo.
Bingo, you're going to call out some numbers to the audience.
I like to have audience participation. and we'll be playing prize bingo as well. I won't repeat on air what it's called. It's called buzzword bingo. I can use the Channel 4.
As long as you keep it nice and clean.
No, it is. This is Channel 4's official term. It's bovine excrement bingo.
Oh, I see. Yes. All right, then.
Because one of my loves and hates is the language being used at us, actually, in all sorts of ways. Because what happens is with these business cases coming out about hospital mergers and closures, and they fill it with the most elaborate corporate, well, gobbledygook is a polite way of saying it. So we play buzzword bingo. and hopefully people will enjoy that. Yeah.
It sounds like all sorts of things into this sort of melee that is your comedy
show. Well, that's why it's taking so long to put together, because there's just so much to put in, and I'm having to sort of hone down everything. And I'll probably have a question and answer session afterwards, hopefully.
You're never short of material, Stephen. It comes in a series of Laptop Dancer. How many previous comedy shows have you put on?
Well, just the one before, and I toured that and it went down really well. That was the Celebration of Women. And actually, that will still continue in this show, because there are other men involved, but a vast majority, I have to say, the feisty ones are the women. I love them for it. And the senior citizens, who are old and probably mad. I've got lovely connections with people who, you know, they're all senior citizens, they're retired. Some of them are ex-nurses, ex-doctors, retired. So they know their stuff, and they can see the changes that just really aren't good for our health.
Where did you take the tour last time?
Well, we came to Cambridge, did it in London, I did it in Manchester, and I did it in the States as well. So that was interesting doing it there, because, of course, they were looking at it from their point of view, and I didn't sort of involve so much of the NHS then, but I remember having lots of... I sort of made hints about it, because I was just starting my campaigning world, if you like. But with the last show being centred on women, and I actually brought in Kate. I don't think you've met Kate. Kate Samuels, who's a famous Broadway singer and my alter ego. she's a little bit of a... you haven't met her yet, have you?
Well, she's singing in Miss Otis Regrets, shall we say, the last little numbers you did.
Yes, she does do that one.
Yes, I thought she might.
And that's an interesting one, because lately she's been out being a matron. She went to London Pride as Matron Kate, campaigning for the NHS, because being an American, she can see that we don't want to go down that route. And actually, friends, I've just come back from the States, actually talking about putting on the show, and friends actually... Either a combination of that, I've got a few doctor friends, they can't believe where we're heading, and others just literally jaws on the floor saying, you want our type of system with health insurance and all the horrible things that go with it? And I say, I don't want it, but it seems to be that's the direction we're heading in. So they're very interested in the new show, because, of course, there is a big organisation in the States who are trying to campaign for what they think we've got. And the irony is that we're losing what they think we've got, and they want what we've got. So...
Equally, the Americans, I mean, Obama tried to put in his healthcare plans, mm-hmm. and of course it was turned down because it was deemed really far too left and too socialist, and how dare they think of a federal system of healthcare for...
Yeah, but ironically, the insurance companies rather loved it, actually, after, because they realised they were going to get a huge amount of money. There was a huge uptake. So actually, after an initial resistance to it, fear of losing money, insurance companies started making money, and that's what it's about, making money.
And on that note, unfortunately, Stephen, we've got to kind of end it there. But what a wonderful way to finish. Just say that in your repertoire, in your comedy that'll be coming up, you've still got My Health is one of the songs you'll be doing. Think It's Gonna Rain Today, Black Coffee and more. They all fit in the picture. And that's something that Stephen Kahn will be presenting on a stage somewhere in Cambridge very, very soon.
Hopefully
it seems.
Next month.
You reckon
I'm
to
hoping,
roll it out?
Yeah, I'm hoping, yeah.
Let us know so we can get some publicity on the air about
Great.
This. It may be Hot Numbers. It may be somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know yet. Yes.
Try Nova down in Regent Street. It's another good venue. You never know. Or
Great.
Portland Arms, somewhere like that.
Yeah.
All been mentioned this morning already. If you want to get in touch with Stephen Kahn, it's kahnstephen@gmail.com. He mentioned this earlier on. And C-A-R-N-E. And Stephen is with a V, so that's CARNESTEVEN, kahnstephen@gmail.com, and a website the other way around.
Yeah.
Just to confuse matters. StephenKahn.com. So Stephen with a V.
Oh, actually, it's changed. It's .co.uk now.
Oh.
I decided to go English.
You've gone to a British domain.
I have, yes.
A UK domain.
Yep.
You can find him there. He'd love to sort of share your views on the NHS as his latest topic. Got anything lined up for after doing the NHS? or is it too far ahead for you, Stephen?
I wish. No, I'm working with some nice arts projects in London over the next month. And then, of course, it's Christmas.
Oh, yes.
December. That's my month of, yes, I play somebody else that month.
Oh, featuring as a Santa Claus in a department store near you.
Even he might be getting political this year.
Oh, dear. Well, not really. The children might not understand. Stephen, thank you very much for coming by this morning. Thank you.